strange as it seems, I can't stop dreaming a dream.
Dreaming, dreaming.
Strange as it seems, I can't stop dreaming a dream.
Dreaming.
By the way, this is probably a good point to say welcome. Oh, yeah. If you're listening. We're just dropping right into the middle of a conversation that we were having about drunk driving laws around the world. And
which started how?
It started because we were talking about Silverchair. And
that's correct, yes.
I'm not going to explain any more than that. That suffices, I think.
You search that out on your own.
Yeah. Yeah, you'll be able to make sense of it. By the way, other news. I was immediately worried that we were going to alienate some of our fan base. A rabid fan base, by the way.
In Australia?
We don't have anyone from Australia who listens. Or from Turkey or the UAE. Or Poland.
Or Malaysia?
Or Malaysia.
All right.
We have had somebody from Singapore listen before. And
well, I bet Singapore is hardly they hardly let you off easy for drunk driving there either.
I would imagine.
Isn't that where they will, like, flog you for dropping your gum on the sidewalk?
They will, yes. Now, Canada, a place where I think they can hold their liquor. We've had a couple of listeners.
In both hands.
Indeed. And then... And then when you really want to talk about places that know how to drink, our German and Irish listeners, they're just going to be like, well, this is stupid. Why do you have these drink driving laws?
I bet also that Germany is fairly strict.
Yeah, that's probably true.
I mean, I think it's a society that's always appreciated order.
You are really, you're really walking a thin line there.
No, I mean, it's...
Being very careful.
It's not always worked out badly for them.
It hasn't always. By the way, also, I have some additional data. Yeah, go ahead.
I did read an article recently about how the QAnon movement...
Oh, boy.
Has become huge in Germany.
Well, yeah, can't see how anything's going to go wrong with that. Do that. So, is a German QAnon still fixated on the American Democratic Party and pizzerias, or do they have like a
currywurst stands underneath the currywurst stand? There's a child trafficking going on.
So they have like an Angela Merkel is doing child trafficking. Is that? Or did they go to a whole different thing?
Just that whole idea that there's a deep state, and, you know.
Right.
So, I mean, because really all QAnon is a, you know, a garbled rehashing of, you know, the protocol of the Elders of Zion, you know, the blood libel.
Yeah.
All of that sort of stuff, which you would think in this day and age... People would be smart enough not to.
I was going to say that it was a rehashing of rejected X-Files episodes, but you're probably right.
You could probably make a pretty good cult out of that.
Yeah, you could. So, by the way, we have got some listener data that I didn't know we had. Like, I've got a little more info. I just told you a little bit about some of the places where a smattering of people listen. But I now know when it comes to the American listener, and the American listener makes up approximately 96% of our audience, I now know where they're coming from. So you're in Illinois. I'm in California.
Yep.
Illinois. Is you may not be surprised to know, is the state that has the most listeners to this particular podcast product. California's third. Do you know what state is second in terms of listenership? Because I didn't. And I, in fact, do not know who in this state is listening to our podcast.
Is it Ohio?
It's not.
Texas?
No. 5% of our audience comes from...
Alabama, Alaska, Arizona, Arkansas. Stop me when I get there.
Colorado. I'm going to stop you now instead. So Texas makes up 5% of our audience. This is 25% of our audience.
What?
That this state that I'm mentioning here, 25% of our audience, and sincerely, I don't actually know if I know anybody who lives in this state.
Okay.
So I'm confused.
Is it Washington State?
It is.
Because Molly was just talking with me today about the demo for Herd Podcast,
yeah.
Comedy Silver, available on all finer podcasts.
It is. It's part of the... It didn't we say it's part of the Excellence in Broadcasting network?
It is, yes.
Yeah.
Yes, they've also indicated they would like to do a crossover episode.
Nice. I like that.
So, now, they're even more freeform than we are.
My concern is that are there laws about the corrupting of a minor that we're going to get hit on by doing a crossover episode with them?
Well, if you're talking about getting hit on, that's all. That's a criminal, right?
That's not that's, that. Yeah, no.
I mean, because that's most parents then would be in jail, right?
Yeah, maybe.
And uncles. Most uncles would be in jail, right? Got the crazy uncle who...
Do we know that most uncles are not in jail?
What's this in my pocket? Oh, my gosh.
It's QAnon.
Molly was telling me that she has California listeners, and she's pretty sure it's you because they are all in Santa Cruz.
Wait a minute. It actually tells her where they are?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Well, wait a minute.
Let me. So she has all, but they also have some listeners in Washington State. So I'm wondering if there's somebody that through our having shared her podcast, so something that we know that we're not thinking of.
Yeah, well, it's mostly Seattle.
I can think of one person I know, but I think that she lives in Tacoma.
Hmm. I'm assuming Seattle. It's
and maybe it's not even her, but I mean, yeah.
I'm assuming it's Jeff Bezos.
When are we going to get an offer? Because I'll tell you this, I will sell out.
I'm taking it. Yeah. Oh yeah.
We can come up with another name for a podcast.
Listen, I want to be clear, Jeff Bezos, when you listen to this episode, I will take less than $1 billion to buy this podcast.
You know what? I'll take just 1% of what he's made since the pandemic started.
Hmm. Well, yeah. This is getting close to that $1 billion number.
Yes.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, yes.
Yeah.
Just so you know, Jeff Bezos, I still think we should eat the rich.
Uh-huh.
Except they're probably bitter and...
Huge part of our audience is in the city of Chicago, proper.
Right, we can probably... we know who, like, one of those people would be.
Joe Stoll?
I don't think he's in Chicago anymore.
Fair enough.
No, but we went to college with him.
Yeah, yeah, that's right.
Right. That's very nice. We appreciate all of our listeners.
It's true.
Unless we find out that some of our listeners are fascists or...
Yeah, right. No, we don't want the fascists.
We don't appreciate you.
We don't, not at all.
But the ones that we know about are all fine people.
We have people in side. We have people in North Carolina. I think we know that's also some people we went to school with.
Is that somebody I would know?
I think so.
Your age, though, right?
Yeah, yeah. One of my roommates. Oh, man.
Yeah,
he's listening right now, and he's like, oh, wow, I'm getting talked
about. No, that's right. Yeah, I'd forgotten. Yes. Mm. Yes. Mm-hmm. That's an individual that has grown up in a fabulous way.
Absolutely.
Not that they needed to I mean, they were not. They were.
We all needed to listen. No, but I mean, everybody who was in college once upon a time needed to grow up.
He has grown up for what seems to be a really productive and fascinating life.
Yeah, absolutely.
He would probably make an excellent guest.
He would on a better podcast than this.
Oh yes,
yeah.
But also, we would take him. I mean,
yeah, absolutely, right.
He could class the joint up a little bit.
Well, I mean, like on a future episode of the Bezos Cast, we could have him. We could. So, we could do that. Big listenership in Dallas, which I'm assuming is members of the Dallas Stars.
Molly, all it's so it's Jerry Jones, or maybe it's Dak Prescott has some time in his
Dak head. Prescott. Oh, that's unfortunate. I didn't see that injury, but it's I heard the description and it made me ill. That's not cool at all.
I didn't know I was going to be watching it, and I saw it, and it's terrible. It's terrible. Yeah. I feel terrible for that happening to. I mean, I don't know anything bad about Dak Prescott.
Mm-hmm.
Molly also said that the Comedy Silver has listeners in Dallas and Austin.
Oh, we don't have Austin. Wow, we got to compete with them for that Austin market.
I think we've already lost it.
We got Des Moines.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm thinking that's iCubs, who hung out in Des Moines, just waiting for baseball season to come back. Listen, nobody said that minor league players were really smart.
It's a swing and a miss right there.
Mm-hmm. I'm thinking actually some of these small towns and we got some cities that we could use as future locations for a mailing address.
Yes, speaking of which, we're going to need to make a change.
Okay. Should we talk about that now, or do you want to save that for later?
No, we can wrap that up at the end, right?
We'll get that at the end, okay.
Yeah.
All right. Because whoever's listening to us in Simpsonville, South Carolina, might be thinking, hey, I could talk to the local authorities here. And...
Wait, there's somebody in Simpsonville, South Carolina?
That's correct.
So why were you surprised that Molly knew where her listeners were from? If you can tell us that we have listeners from Simpsonville, South Carolina.
Because once you told me that Molly knew where her listeners were from, I looked at all these and I was like, oh, I can click on that state and it tells me where in the state. So I learned that in this. Listen, this podcast is so organic. It's just like we're learning as it's happening.
Learning from 13-year-olds.
Just always. Listen, that's what makes this really exciting and cutting edge. We are on the bleeding edge of our own knowledge. So, all right.
Cool.
So, it's the basketball season's over, such that it was. LeBron James wins another title. But the baseball season's not over. And I want to talk about that. I want to actually ask you first just how you're doing. But I want to talk to you tonight about baseball. Because if people who are listening, if they know things about me, one of the things they probably know about me is that I really love baseball. But I want to talk about it tonight. So,
are you afraid that baseball isn't loving you back?
Oh, no, I know they're not loving me back. But I genuinely first want to ask, how are you doing there in the Midwest? Your census work has wrapped up now, right?
It has. That's been a bit of a roller coaster.
Because the Supreme Court shut you down. Yeah.
Yeah.
Did speaking of drinking and driving, by the way, did Brett Kavanaugh show up to tell you stop collecting names and data?
No, he sent Squee or whatever.
Was that I thought it was Squiffy. I don't remember.
Squiffy. No, that's what you use to clean up after Squee.
Oh, man. Which actually also reminds me, and this is a shout out to any of our college chums. Why didn't we have better nicknames in college, like Kavanaugh's Crew, guys? What's the deal?
Now Kavanaugh's Crew, that's with a K, right?
I'm assuming it is. Yeah, that's certainly how I'm thinking of it. So, all right. So yeah, how you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. Yeah, the census work ended in a disappointing fashion because, oddly enough, it was a cluster. No one knew what was going on anywhere. So, like, I traveled to Detroit to do some census work.
Yeah.
And I sat around in Detroit. I mean, I actually took advantage of the time and moved around the city, but spent a whole day up there where I didn't have any work because they forgot to assign me to the Detroit office. And then by the time I got that worked out where I started getting cases, I, you know, ran through those. And there's supposed to be a supervisor that you talk to, with a field supervisor. I then had my original assignment was just through, like, it was like three days. And there was a possibility of it being extended. But I got to the end of that 3 days and I hadn't heard from anybody. I couldn't get an answer from anybody, and I had to check out of the hotel. And I was like, well, all right. And I waited till as, you know, late as I could. And at about like 8 o'clock at night, no, closer to 9, as I'm driving home from Detroit, I got a call from my supervisor. Hey, I noticed you've been assigned to me, so I look forward to working with you. I said, yeah, I'm halfway home.
Wow.
So, you know, he's like, oh, well, I could have extended you. And I was like, yeah, but I've been trying to get a hold of somebody, man. It was just disappointing. And then getting back here, in my home area, I couldn't get reassigned. So the last 2 weeks of the census, I was just in limbo.
Oh, man.
And they kept, people kept, you know, sending messages saying, hey, we need people to go to travel to Louisiana. We need people to travel here. We need people to travel here. And I'm like, I'm ready to go. And they're like, oh, but we can't find you in the system. It's like, yeah, because somebody has to assign me someplace. Oh, we'll get back to you. And then nothing. So.
Well, I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah, it was disappointing. But I overall still enjoyed the experience. While I was in Detroit, I had gotten a number of cases. And I was in this one apartment building. And I think I had like 12 cases in that apartment building. It was 4 stories. And there was, I'd gotten all of them except for one, which was pretty good work, considering at this point these were people that they'd had a really hard time getting in touch with.
Yeah.
But I had been having some success. And this last one, I'm knocking on the door and I can hear all kinds of noise inside. I hear a child running around. I hear the mother yelling at the child. I hear another female voice. So there's obviously people in there.
Yeah.
And I knock on the door and the noise all stops.
Oh, boy.
And then it starts up again, you know. So they know I'm there. And I'm like, I really want to get this one. I don't want to have to come back tomorrow, try and get in. Sometimes with these apartment buildings, it was tough to get in because they have a restricted access.
Sure.
At the front. And, you know, I mean, you break the window one day, but then they board it up for the next day.
Of course.
Yeah, man, I didn't break any windows, just so you know. Or peek in any windows. That's gross. But, so I hear...
By the way, I'm going to edit that out, just so that people wonder.
That's fine. people will make their assumptions.
They will.
So I hear this noise, there's music, I hear couple of adult voices, I hear the child, and I also hear that beep, beep, that you get when the batteries mm-hmm. are going out on your smoke detector.
Oh boy.
You ever
experienced
this?
Oh yeah.
And I'll say this, I've had this happen in my own home, and I'll stand under each of the smoke detectors, and I can't tell which one it is.
Oh, I hate that. Yeah.
Because of the way the sound, it travels across the ceiling, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's like, I'm pretty sure it's this one.
Yep.
But then I stand under, I'm like, does it sound like it's this one? And then, but anyway.
So frustrating.
Right. So I hear that noise, And I'm like, man, I really still want to close this case. So I knock on the door again, give them a chance to answer. When they don't, I cut my hands up against the door and I say, listen, if you will tell me how many people lived in this apartment on April 1st, I will change the battery in your smoke detector. And then the music goes off, and the door opens, and the person says to me, is that what that beeping noise is?
Oh my gosh.
I say, sure enough, that is your smoke detector, needs batteries. I need to, you know, the batteries checked. I was like, oh my gosh. I'm like, I'd be happy to change it. And so she lets me in.
Wow.
And we look around, we find the smoke detector. And you know, they bring me a kitchen chair. I climb up. I take it down.
Yeah.
And I said, you happen to have a 9-volt battery? It was a 9-volt, which is not a common battery as much these days. But
not as much.
The woman says, the younger woman says, we don't have any batteries. And then there's an older woman who I believe was the mother of the younger woman, so the grandmother then of the child, says, hold on, I bought some batteries for so-and-so's toys. I think I got one there. And she goes off for a minute, comes back, says, is this it? And I was like, sure enough. Put it in there. Put the smoke detector back up. We all stand there for a while, stare at each other.
Yeah.
But don't hear any more beeping. She's like, oh my gosh. Thank you. And then the grandmother says, you are an angel sent from heaven. I'm like, no, just the U.S. Census Bureau.
That's
correct. So is it just the three of you living in this home? Boom. Closed my case. Enumerated.
Amazing.
Enumerated.
Enumerated.
So, now, I do want to say this. I think there could be a tendency to hear that story and say, how stupid do you have to be to not know that's your smoke detector? Right? I mean, that's... What crossed your mind that the person didn't know that that sound was their smoke detector?
Well, I can actually believe that possibility. I mean, it's because people, if you've never experienced that before, if you have lived somewhere that either didn't have a smoke detector or somebody
exactly.
does that for you, you have no idea what that is. But
right, what that told me is that in these, go ahead, oh, you had a butt.
So. But I'd lose my mind.
Well, yeah, it sounded like these people were losing their mind over it.
Oh, man.
But my first thought was, what? You don't know it's your smoke detector? But then, fortunately, my reprogramming as a thinking adult gave me the thought that it's sad in the sense that these people have probably lived in housing that was so substandard that their landlords didn't have functioning smoke detectors and things like that. So they never ran across this as a problem.
Yeah.
And it made me think, I mean, don't people at least serve the smoke detectors? Like, shouldn't that be something you have to provide if you're a landlord?
Yes. And right? I think you are. I think the law would say you have to provide that.
But, you know, the people, you know, just flaunt the law and get away with it. So that was my thought, was that I bet they've never even had the benefit that they've maybe, this, you know, older woman's lived her whole life in such substandard housing situations that she never even had a smoke detector before.
Either that or she's always had a very attentive census worker around.
Every 10 years.
Who
change her battery.
Came in and changed the battery.
Yes.
Yeah, seriously, I would lose my brain. I would go crazy. I can't and handle it.
There were quite a few homes that I walked up to where I heard that beeping. Both here in the Chicago area and in Detroit. And I just, yeah, I... one of my least favorite sounds.
No. Mm. No, I will. I have had times I just like take the smoke detector down. I'm like, okay, I'd honestly rather have my house burned down.
Don't you think the sound of your children screaming as they burn to death would be worse than that?
Probably. But in the moment. But you've met my children. If I left that going on, the sound of them screaming while that went on.
That would happen long before they were burning up.
Yeah.
Well, and, you know, rightly so.
Yeah.
I could, that should bother us.
It should.
It's pretty annoying.
Yeah. Well, that's a good job on getting out there and helping to enumerate in Detroit. And,
yeah.
And in the Aurora metropolitan area.
Thank you.
Way to go.
I actually enjoyed Detroit. I have interesting ideas about Detroit, and then it turns out they have a proposition. I think it's Proposition H that they'll be voting on about plans on how to handle some of the urban blights in Detroit.
Okay.
Because when was the last time you were in Detroit?
It's been quite a while.
And when you were in Detroit, did you actually get around and see parts of the city?
Not much. In fact, it's probably been more than 20 years. And most of what I did, of course, that was because I was on a trip where I had one day in the area and I was going to a game at Tiger Stadium. So I basically mm-hmm. went to Tiger Stadium, went to the game, and then left for the next town I was going to see a ball game in. So.
Right.
But it wasn't right around Tiger Stadium, that's for sure.
Yeah, and that area has actually had a little bit of a renaissance there, Corktown.
Yeah.
So, Ford is moving into there. At least a large part of Ford.
Nice.
From Dearborn, which, by the way, also, Dearborn, which if you listen to some of the perhaps more right-leaning media, there's been a lot of talk about these no-go zones.
Yeah.
These communities that have been overrun by Islamists.
Oh, right. Yeah, right.
And you can't even go to them if you're not. And it's mm-hmm. Sharia law.
Yeah.
Sharia
law, right. Yeah.
Sharia law, right. Dearborn is one of those cities that was talked about as being such. Now, I know that's all bunk
insane.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, it's... Right. But... Because if you don't have to think that deep about that, and you think, do you think the Ford Motor Company would be headquartered in a city that doesn't allow
non-Muslims? No, I don't think that seems likely. That, I believe the saying is, that beggars belief.
It does. But I also had the chance to, I had a number of addresses in Dearborn. And I was able to go.
Yeah.
It seemed like there. It perhaps does indeed, which no one has questioned, there is a sizable population of people who are Muslim.
Okay.
But that's it. I mean, it's, you know, I mean, I saw mosques.
Mm-hmm.
I saw businesses that would seem to cater to people of that religion or from that region where that religion would be most prevalent, you know.
Okay, yeah.
But otherwise, you know, there weren't any, you know, I wasn't being tracked or there weren't any beheadings in the street or.
Yeah.
But, you know, it was just, it made me think that no one who thinks that could possibly have been to that city, right?
It almost makes me think that somebody's just trying to control people through fear tactics.
That's... I think you're onto something.
Mm.
Let's see, I was also in the town of Hamtramck. Hamtramck.
Yes.
Which, Hamtramck is an interesting little town. Yeah, there's Hamtramck and Highland Park.
Yeah.
Which touch each other... Right at the...
Consensually
there, right, they border each other a small portion,
mm-hmm.
right near, like, the bottom of
you gotta Highland finish Park the sentence.
And the top of Hamtramck.
Yes.
All right. So they border each other there, but then they are both completely surrounded on all other sides by the city of Detroit.
Oh, sure.
So, now, Hamtramck also has a significant immigrant population.
They also have a Ford plant, I believe. Or maybe it's a GM plant. I was actually just reading about this.
It had been a Chrysler plant.
Yeah.
the Chrysler plant, and the Chrysler plant goes went way back, 50, 60, 70 years.
Okay.
They vacated it, tore that down, and GM is building a new plant there.
And they're calling that, because it's going to be in for all electric vehicles, they're calling that Plant Zero. That's what I just read today.
Okay. Well, so that's not terrible.
No.
It's cool. Now, that's also a significant immigrant population. And I knocked on many doors there. And, again, people were helpful and friendly. And, yeah, so... Yeah. I don't know where else I'd have to go to find one of these no-go zones, but I struck out in the Detroit metro area.
Well, don't go to Portland. Obviously, that's a, you know.
Clearly.
Yeah. Portland has been taken over by Antifa or Black Lives Matter or something, right? Okay.
Oh, and when I was in Hamtramck, there's a... One of the, I think, 12 remaining stadiums where Negro League Baseball was played.
Yeah.
The Detroit Stars played there.
Yeah.
That's and cool. who was the big star for the Detroit Stars? One of them?
Was that Judy Johnson?
No, he was with somebody else. No, we talked about him while I was there.
Oh, wow. Well,
coming up on a holiday where we eat...
Turkey Stearns, yes. Yes, Turkey Stearns.
So, you're right. There's a hope that they're going to restore Hamtramck Stadium, which when you see these stadiums, some of these old stadiums, you know, I've seen pictures of other stadiums where Negro League Baseball was played.
Uh-huh.
It seems like almost a stretch to call them stadiums. Do you know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah. Very sparse.
Not a lot of actual seating, and then it was just a lot of standing room only down the lines, and but still very, very interesting. And it had the hugest foul territory that I have ever seen.
Wow.
It was, now, because I can't imagine they would have repositioned the playing surface. Hopefully right, I mean, how much would it cost to redo the playing surface and move it farther away from the grandstand?
You'd think that would be prohibitive,
right? And the stadium was in fairly consistent use for quite a long time, even after Negro League Baseball was no longer played there. It was used by the school district and other semi-pro teams and things like that. But it was probably a good 75 feet to the backstop from home plate.
That is wild.
And then from like third baseline to the grandstand was also probably that much.
Wow.
Just massive. Now that made me think of
tons of foul territory.
Made me think of times when there would be standing room only capacity on fields.
Yep.
Roped off areas, right?
Yeah.
But that couldn't have been, like, behind home plate. Could it have been?
I don't think so. I think that was usually in the outfield. That doesn't
seem dangerous behind home plate.
Seems risky, for sure, yeah.
Yeah. And I don't know if these were the original bullpens, but you go all the way out into the outfield, okay?
Yeah.
And there was outfield area... And it kind of came to a square at center field, mm-hmm. a right angle. And then there were two dugouts again. And then what looked like space, like a pitcher's mound and home plate on either side of the angle. And I was like, is this where the bullpen was? And they warmed up in the very back of the outfield. Or was there another fence there at some point that's now since come down?
But they could have. Or whatever. They could have. Some of the other old ballparks, like I believe Griffith Stadium, had the bullpens basically in the field of play way out in center field. That was the case at the Polo Grounds as well.
Yeah, so I mean, it's all those little interesting things and trying to kind of piece it back together, what it would have looked like at the time.
By the way, just as a little fun tidbit, I'm going to encourage, if the listener chooses to go to our Facebook page.
Or Instagram.
Yeah, that's right. I can share this on Instagram too. I have a baseball card collection that was done this year because this is the 100th anniversary of the Negro League's founding. And like the founding of the Negro National League, which was the first fully organized Negro League. And this was done by an artist who created painted portraits of the most prominent Negro League players.
I've perhaps seen some of his paintings.
Yeah, you probably have. I don't want to get his name wrong. It's Craig Kreindler, I think.
Craig.
So I am going to. I have that card collection. I'll pull out the Turkey Stearns card and I'll put that up on the site because they're gorgeous cards.
That's really cool. Yeah. I did not know that those existed.
They're extraordinary. So, that's cool. You and I spent a little time talking before about, how much fun it is to go to some of those ballparks, where Negro League teams have played or where other, great baseball history has happened. So I'm glad you got to do that. That was cool.
Yeah. So, I mean, you've been, we're going to be talking about baseball, right?
Yeah.
And kind of the way we're talking about baseball now, I think we're talking in a fond fashion of a certain type of baseball that was played, right? Now, we're not, I mean, not saying we were fond of the Negro Leagues in the sense that the Negro Leagues had to exist, but fond of the, and because there were other semi-pro and professional leagues that probably operated similar to the Negro Leagues that were also white-only leagues,
yeah,
in terms of their structure. Kind of just a lot of players weren't playing because they were making lots of money,
right,
or anything. It was odd travel, weird situations where you'd be playing. Sometimes you'd be playing another organized team, and then some days you'd be playing, like, you know, the team from the local, brick factory in town, right? And you'd, all these different things going on, and there was, like, you know, I don't even think barnstorming is the right word for it, but it was like kind of like an organized chaos, but it was typically, marked by high quality baseball that people could come out and see.
Yeah, absolutely.
Cheaply. So.
Hey, Brandon here. I wanted to let you know that at that point in the conversation Kevin and I were having, we really dug deep on the current state of baseball, and that section was long enough that we thought it would make too much for one podcast. So we've split it off, and next week we're going to release that piece as well. So that's all for today, and if you're interested in hearing that conversation about the state of baseball and maybe what the future of baseball could look like, look for that next week. Until then, hope you're doing well, and we'll see you soon. Bye.
Strange as it seems, I can't stop dreaming.